Wonderful friend he is. That's the title of my sermon tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The truth of my message tonight is all wrapped up in that song. It's just real simple. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said, ye are my friends. He laid down his life for us. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and verse 24. This is a theme passage for my sermon tonight. The last half of the verse. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This word friend in Hebrew, it means a beloved, a beloved. In fact, literally and indiscriminately, speaking of both sexes, it would be called a lover, literally. That's what it would mean, literally. Like the love that David and Jonathan had between each other. This great friend of our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lover of our soul. And the rest of the verse said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in those words, there is a positive concept being communicated to us. A concept of love and friendship on a very close basis and a very powerful positive giving. Sticketh closer, meaning supporting us, strengthening us, giving us of his love and of his heart. Total kindness and total love. More than anyone we can associate with in this life, that's who this great Jesus is that we love and we serve, who's come to live in our hearts. There's no negative in him, no shadow of turning. He doesn't think about all our sins day to day like we do. He doesn't know those. He looks at us in total, total positive whiteness, righteousness of his blood. So when he chastises us and when he rebukes us, it's not in the light of all those other sins. It's only in his wisdom and in his love that he brings that one chastisement. And it's not all the other things that we're blaming ourselves for that he's talking about. It's just that one little steering that he wants to give us. So many times we cave in when the Lord rebukes us and chastens us because we forget that he's not looking at all those other things. They're all under the blood. They're all forgiven. We're white as snow in his eyes. When he reaches out to correct us, this is that one thing he wants to tell us. So tonight, let's compare the friendship of Jesus that we talked about here, this closeness of Jesus that sticketh closer than a brother, with some of our brothers we might talk about in this life. So we're going to talk about three kinds of brothers. The first kind of brother is a natural brother, one that is born in your same family. And the second kind is a spiritual brother that loves the Lord just like you do. And the third kind is a brother that's very close to you that you probably never thought of as a brother. But the Bible talks of this as a brother in a way, and that's your very own personality, your very own soul, as opposed to, you could say, as opposed to your spirit man, your inner man. So we're going to talk about those three kinds of brothers, and we're going to compare them with this relationship that we have with Jesus. The first kind of friendship between the natural brothers in the flesh, people that we've been born into the same family with, as compared to this one who sticketh closer. We can look at many things between brothers that would show us wonderful love and wonderful comradeship and wonderful faithfulness. We eat at the same table with our brother. And we obey and love the very same parents. And we live in the same house. We sleep in the same bed sometimes. Use the same chest of drawers. Play the same football games. Work at the same chores. We think the same ideas on thousands and thousands of subjects, especially when you're young, growing up. They have the same concepts, parallel thinking on everything. You may even talk alike. Your voices might even sound similar. You might look a lot alike. And you'd stand up for your brother in a fight and you'd defend him to the end. And you'd protect his reputation in public. And you'd maintain a lasting rapport and relationship with him. But you know, Jesus is a closer one than that. There's a friend that's closer, sticketh closer than a brother. For example, Jesus doesn't tease you, does he? And he doesn't strike out at you and get angry with you when his patience runs out, does he? He's not like a natural brother in that way. He wouldn't get in a wrestling match, fight with you, and give you a black eye if he's mad enough. Neither does he leave us to our own devices when he's found something that catches his interest more than us. Say one brother's 13 and the other's 3, and the 13-year-old is out doing something and the 3-year-old is getting into some dangerous spot about to fall off a cliff. The 13-year-old might not be aware enough of the problem to be there to help that 3-year-old brother. But Jesus is. He sticketh closer than a brother. He protects us. He never lets anything that's concerning him override our little problem right there. He reaches down and ministers to us all the time. And Jesus doesn't grow older and leave the house and get married and leave, you know. And then spend 40 years on the other side of the continent, write a letter to you once every 5 years. You get together, and it's like you renew the friendship, but it's just somehow different. It's something gone that was there before. It's not the same as it was when you're little. But it's different with Jesus. He sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend where other brothers leave off. And his love for us continues to deepen and continues to build and grow. And you know, there's another thing. An earthly brother might not follow you to the altar. He might not give his heart to Jesus. He might not want to walk this way. He might not want to fellowship in the same place as you do. He might not have the same concept of who God is and what the Bible means. But Jesus' heart is right there with you. As you're walking with him, though you may have left a brother back in this life who hasn't gotten saved yet, Jesus is still closer than that by far. He's clear across that chasm right next to your side. Hallelujah. You know, there's another proverb that talks about neighbors. Jesus is a nearer neighbor than an earthly brother who's far from God or a long ways away in distance. We're not related to Jesus in the flesh, but he's certainly worth more to us as the neighbor he has become than somebody in the flesh, a brother. That's in Proverbs 27:10. Take a minute to read it to you. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Now let's talk about the second kind of brother. Let's talk about the brothers in the Lord that love God. You know, we've got wonderful friendships between brothers in the Lord, spiritual brethren, deep, wonderful friendships. But let's compare that with the closeness that Jesus gives us tonight. You and your brother in Jesus love and fellowship with the same God, and you love Jesus with all your heart. You've had the same experience of salvation and perhaps filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe it happened the same night. Maybe you both got saved the same night, both got Spirit-filled the same night. And you've shared your hearts deeply in the Word of God, and you've shared all kinds of wonderful experiences in God. And you've prayed together. And you've witnessed together. You've read the Word together. And you live together in the same dormitories. You speak the same spiritual jargon, and you talk the same spiritual talk, and you take the same classes, and you listen to the same teachers, and you make the same notebooks, and turn in the same assignments. And you've got a wonderful love built between you, just like David and Jonathan, just like John had for Jesus. Oh, what a deep and wonderful love it is. But, our brothers in the Lord aren't perfect yet, are they? They're not perfect yet. They often don't seem to truly understand and know what's inside of us. There's a lot of things they can't seem to understand, they can't seem to relate to. Deep inside of us. But Jesus is the lover of our soul. Jesus is our dearest friend. Always understanding every aspect of every part of your whole personality, all of your thinking, all the time. He always has all the patience he needs to listen to the whole thing all day long. And that kind of love far exceeds the faithfulness of our closest brethren in the Lord, doesn't it? Then the rest of part of this song that we sang says, Jesus knows our every weakness. Jesus knows our every weakness. He knows all of our emotions, and he knows all of our thoughts. At all times, he's able to completely understand. Let's turn to Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Praise his name. So wonderful to know this depth that Jesus knows us all day long, all the time. In Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, Jesus tells us, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And Jesus is that friend, and Jesus is that brother. He's that friend that loveth at all times, and he's that brother that we come to in adversity, and he's always there. He takes us in, he lets us use his roof, he lets us eat off his table, lets us get the food out of his refrigerator. He takes care of us through our calamities till we get back in strength again. That's who this brother is there in Proverbs 17. Jesus perfectly fulfills this to us. And our human friends can't fully do that. Our human brethren can't do that. Now what about this comparison with our own soul as our friend? Let's talk about that compared to Jesus' friendship with us. In Proverbs 18:24, we read that Jesus sticketh, or that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6, a close friend is compared to a man's own soul. Deuteronomy 13:6, talking about different kinds of relationships, or thy friend which is as thine own soul, right in the middle of that verse. Thy friend which is as thine own soul. He's so close to you, he's as close to you as your soul is. You know, we can take that Proverbs 18:24 and read a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we can say that he sticketh closer than our very own soul to us. How can we say that? Well, let's look into this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, it says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Certainly we love ourselves. We are very faithful to ourselves. We take care of ourselves. Dearly we take care of ourselves. We are a dear, faithful friend and brother of ourselves. We do everything we possibly can for ourselves. We watch out for our own best interests all the time, with great consistency and carefulness. We really desire the absolute best for ourselves that we can possibly find. We care so much at times that we push ourselves to become what we long to be. And we would love to make ourselves into that thing that we long to be. And we don't give up on ourselves very easily, do we? We keep trying. We bear long with our weaknesses. We aren't quick to condemn and get distraught with ourselves. We'll excuse ourselves long, long time. But you know what? We really don't understand ourselves. We don't understand. We don't know how to help ourselves. Now, Jeremiah told us in chapter 17, verse 9, that the heart's deceitfully wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, we're easily pulled by Satan's suggestions. We bind ourselves. We let him bind us up with heavy weights and burdens that we can't pick up and that we aren't meant to carry. We load ourselves down with heavy weights and we pile up. We let the devil pile up the guilt and the condemnation. And we could say we let him pile up the knowledge of good and evil in our mind, thinking we'll save ourselves by that. But you know, if we were left to our own devices, which is exactly what they are, we would betray ourselves right into the arms of the devil and never get out. That's exactly where we came from, isn't it? Just so mixed up, so fooled, so, you know, mixed up. If it weren't for Jesus, a blessed Jesus is a beloved friend that sticketh closer than even your own inner brother, your own soul. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Let's look at that. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So our inner friend, Jesus, that we've asked into our heart, is truer by far than our own soul. And closer in our inner man than our very own soul. He's spirit. You see, our souls war against that work that God's trying to do many times. Our souls will, through the deceit of the devil, remember and recall long, long lists of our sins. Clear back all the way. But Jesus, does he do that? Nope. In Psalm 103, verse 12, he tells us his attitude towards all those lists of sins. He tells us what he thinks about all that. This inner friend, sticking closer than even our own soul, who's making trouble for us. Jesus doesn't make that trouble for us. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." That's what's in the eye of our inner lover of our soul. That's what's in his heart towards us. He has dove's eyes, that lover looking to his bride-to-be, clothed in white garments, getting ready, taking out those spots, but not remembering the spots he already took out. They're already out. They're gone forever, as far as the east is from the west. In Psalm 32, verse 2, it says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." We often see ourselves as unable to act in obedience to God. Did you know that God does not see you that way? Do you know why? Why do you think he always demands total obedience all the time? Because he doesn't see all of that syndrome of habits, of sins. He has forgiven all that. And he is not looking at a big pile of guilt. And many times we are. And we look at a big heap of guilt and we see a pattern of disobedience and we say, "It's impossible for me to break that chain." Jesus does not see that at all. He sees a soul that's been absolutely set free and totally forgiven from sin, that has an absolutely free will that can do exactly what God says all the time. It's all in our head that we can't start obeying God perfectly right now. It's a big joke. It's a big falsehood that we have been playing with. It's not true. When you start really receiving legally the forgiveness of all of your sins, and you start standing in that faithfully, you're going to find that weight of habit and guilt of habit disappearing. You say, "Where was all that insistence that I had to sin again? Where did it all go?" It disappeared because it was forgiven, and you were letting guilt and lies weigh down your will and convince your will you couldn't act in obedience to God, but you can. You're totally free all the time to do exactly what Jesus wants you to do. So when Jesus tells us to do something, he sees us in a true light. He sees us totally free to obey. But all of that weight of sin in our mind causes us to reinterpret what he's saying and causes us to say, wait, Lord, just wait a minute, Lord, just wait for me. Just wait, Lord, 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 just wait, Lord. And he says, you just wait. If you don't get rid of this, how am I ever going to get you cleaned up? How am I ever going to start getting experiential righteousness in you? How am I going to get you to start doing acts of obedience if you keep looking at that pile of past records? Now, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than your own soul that's stacking up all that garbage in piles. It's fit to be burned is what it is. And Jesus is closer, and he has a better idea, and he has a better perspective on who you really are. Did you know that? He knows that you are associated with him on the inside. It's an inside job, you know. He knows that he's got his foot in the door because you let him and you asked him and you use his name all the time. And his spirit is inside of you, communing with your inner man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, we see how Jesus looks at us when it comes to the commandments of God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And if you look back in the last part of verse 19, it was not yea and nay. It wasn't yes and no both. Only in him was yea. That's all. Just yes. So he looks at us in association with him. He did all the work. He did all those works. And in him there was no nay at all. So he looks at our heart as capable of the very same thing because he's right in there with us. He's right down in there, ready to turn it to a yea if we let the decision fall that way. So he desires us to listen to his faithful, friendly words above the words of our own soul. That's what it talks about. That's what it means when it talks about being circumcised in your heart. You're cut back. Your soul is cut back so you can hear Jesus in your heart and you can obey Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus wants us to listen to him over the deceit of the enemy that's playing around with our soul and causing concepts and thoughts to be there that are distracting us and yanking on us and trying to damn us and pull us to hell. He wants us to quit listening to those and start listening to his love and to his power. Jesus is our defense attorney. He's our parakletos. That means he's called in right beside us because we don't know how to speak in the courtroom like we should. And we need somebody to stand right next to us and say the words that we would say if we had enough sense to defend ourselves. And that's what Jesus wants to do in our lives. He wants to come out of our heart his truth, his living word. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, and chapter 2, verse 1, we hear a little more about Jesus being our defense attorney or our paraclete. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He's the paraclete. The Holy Spirit right inside of us. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, or we could translate it, lawyer. We have an attorney. We have a paraclete. We have someone called in just for this job. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We must listen to Him. And to His words of life, the yea. In Him there's no nay, just yea. And He alone can prevail and overcome within you. Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Closer than that soul you've got there. Closer than that. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on that soul that's there, because it isn't going to strengthen you in that hour. It isn't going to have it. The Spirit within you, Jesus rising up, He's going to have that word. He's going to have that yea when you need it. He's going to have that power right there inside of you when you need it. It's not going to come from your personality. It's going to come from that living Word of God right inside of your heart. That's where that life is going to come from. As you put the written Word on the heart, that light is going to come from that written word, and it's going to give you that power to overcome in the face of impossible odds. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Laying aside that weight that the soul collects, that dust that it collects, that dirt that it collects from walking down here, and clogs it up and fills it with muck and hair all matted up, and you can't get through it. Lay aside that weight which doth so easily beset us, and all that piled up memory in your natural mind of all the things you've done wrong in the past. Lay it aside and run with patience the race that's set before you. Then look at the next verse. Looking unto Jesus. And that's who's inside of us. That's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Looking unto Jesus, the author, who started your faith, and the finisher of your faith, who's going to complete it, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. For you, He laid down His life, because you are His friend, because He loves you, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Because He doesn't have a long list of things that He just can't tell you because you can't take it. He's steering you and directing you. He's looking at you as completely cleansed. So don't buckle every time He tries to help you out a little bit. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He's the Father of spirits. He's communing with your inner man. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Let it be healed. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the word of God is as a sharp, two-edged sword. Oh, let me read it again here. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Now I'm talking also about the living word of God, Jesus, the living word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So see, that word of God, Jesus, that living word and that written word, is a friend that sticketh closer than old brother soul. Because it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's closer to you than you. And of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, brings truth and light down into that darkened place. Well, we don't know what truth is. We need the word of God. That's why it says, lean not on your own understanding. So let's wrap this all up then. Proverbs 18:24. Let's read it one more time. And there is a friend, hallelujah, that sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in the natural. We talked about that. Who is it? Jesus. That's who it is. There's also a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in the Lord. Who's that? That's Jesus, too. Wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than man's own inner brother, your own soul. And that's our divine defender and attorney and lawyer and advocate and sinner's friend. That mighty, mighty Jesus. Mighty Jesus, able to do all things. God told Abraham when he promised him everything. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God himself, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he is your shield and he is your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one last passage to you. Hallelujah. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know, and consider, and understand together, that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Hallelujah. That's out of Isaiah 41. That's what Jesus promises us tonight. He's going to be that friend to us that sticketh closer than a brother of any kind, right next to your heart, to take care of you through everything, to give you the light you need to walk in this life, to give you the light you need to be perfected, to be brought into that perfect love relationship with Jesus Christ. Think of the words of the song we sang tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand.